Log Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Sansone-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex. Ms. Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, how are you tonight, Nicole?
Oh, peachy keen jelly bean, and how are you?
Okie dokie. And I know we were talking before the show that you're going to go snowboarding this weekend. Happy days. That's wonderful.
Oh. Yep. Yeah, we're going. We already got our passes. We bought our passes last week for this week, so we're ready.
Right. Yes, and you know, so how is everything with your wife? Once in a while, I get emails asking, "How is Lisa?"
Lisa is great, and she's working hard. And you know, unfortunately, the music with COVID has stalled a little bit, but. Her and Tony and her singer are working on new music. So hopefully come summertime, maybe late spring, you'll get some new music from Lisa. And she's also a little negotiator, apparently, Cindy, because we had gone out. She turned 40 last week. And,
wow, I can't believe she's 40. Oh, wow.
Right? She had the big 4-0 last Saturday. And we had gone out to dinner with some friends, and I don't even know how it happened, but all of a sudden, my wife looks at me and says, "Oh, hey, by the way, they do art shows at this restaurant, and you're going to be the artist for the month of June, so get your ass in gear." So I'm doing a gallery show in Long Beach for the month of June, thanks to
my wife. Oh, well, so you're going to let us know about this, all of us, so we can go and go there and go to Long Beach and have dinner and see our friend's artwork. So this is something you have got to get. Because Lisa keeps saying, "I want to do something with Cindy and TJ."
Think that's what she had in mind. I think that Lisa would be happiest, you know, if we had gone out like on the sailboat or something.
We could do that too. It's not either or, because TJ's always desperate for people to go on the sailboat. So that's not
please.
A problem.
Like, give my wife water, anything, and she's down. You know, so it doesn't even matter. So if it has to do with the water, she's on it. She's completely on it. But yeah, so this is a new thing now. So I'm prepping some of my old work for transport, and I'm getting some new pieces together. And, this is the first time that I'm actually going to showcase any of my work since probably, I'm going to say, about 2001. So it's been a while.
Well, this is what we're talking about, that COVID inspired people to be more creative and create art instead of watching TV and going to casinos and distracting with bullshit. You created art.
So like I said, I'm preparing some of my older pieces, and I'm combining them with some newer pieces. And we'll see what happens. Everything is going to be for sale. I'm not going to put anything at the place that I want to keep, because there are a few pieces that are just mine for me. But so everything's going to be for sale, and I'll let you guys know more.
Oh, we can buy something too.
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
You know, this I can't wait to have a little piece of you in my house. Okay.
Well, let me tell you something.
And we do buy art.
What I'm going
here,
to do though, Cindy, quite honestly, is I'm gonna let you go to Long Beach and get yourself some food. But whatever is there that piques your interest, that's going to be my gift to you. You are not paying for a damn thing.
Oh no! Because first of all, after all these years of you working free, the least I could do is buy art that I'm going to have. Okay.
So,
we don't get a free. We don't get a freebie from somebody who's been doing freebies. Okay, for like 12 years. Okay. No. Sometimes we got to pay back, honey. Sometimes we got to pay back.
No, we're gonna fight on the air. So I'm not gonna allow that to happen.
I can't wait to see it. And I think we have to let our listeners know, because we're hoping we can, maybe they'll meet us there too. So it's nice. Mm-hmm. That'd be exciting. That would be so exciting. That's the best news I've heard. I couldn't be happier.
What I'm going to do too is that the restaurant gives me an opportunity to like host, you know, where I could just have my family and friends come down and things like that. So I think it might be like a really, really cool thing if both of us kind of teamed in on that, and, you know, we had a bunch of our listeners come down, and, you know, we could maybe make an event out of it. So
I think that would be great, because we're going
to
need some of these things.
Wonderful.
And I know it'll probably still be socially distanced, but we're all good with that.
Yes. Some people
will be lucky enough.
When we went there for dinner the other night, I kid you not, like, the next table was like 9 feet away from us. Like,
they are
being very, very cognizant of social distancing. This is going to be for the month of June. I don't know what weekend my weekend is going to be. I have to still work it out with them. As far as what weekend I want, I will most likely choose more towards the end of June. But hopefully then the weather will be a little bit nicer. And when the weather is nicer, they do open up the whole side of the restaurant and they bleed out onto the sidewalk where they've got, you know, a tent and everything else. So we're still going to be able to social distance while actually being able to, to see one another and have some drinks and have some good food. And find a reason to be married.
This sounds wonderful. Kicking in that roaring 20s that we're expecting to be happening. So that is great. We have something to look forward to. Oh, that is good news. And tomorrow night, since Debbie Tony's listening, Debbie Tony will be starring in To the Zoom and Back, one of my plays that's in a festival, Think Fast Festival,
Debbie
in New Jersey,
Tony,
but it is on Zoom.
Show.
What'd you say?
I'm just saying this right now. Debbie Tony better come to my damn show.
Oh, she will. She will. And she will come and you'll get to meet her. But hopefully if anyone wants to see our Zoom festival, which is on Zoom on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon, the audience gets to pick the best play, the best actor, the best director, and the one that wins. So we hope our listeners will go. And you can find out the information by going to my website, grantmeahigherlove.com, or you could always email me or whatever, and I will give you the information. So we have an exciting weekend coming, so I'm looking forward to it. So this is great.
Saturday, I'm going to be on a mountain, but Sunday I'm down.
Okay, dokie. And there's an after talk, too. The playwrights and the actors will be talking after the festival, so you'll get to meet us and hear us. And there's 8 plays altogether, short plays. They're very good playwrights that are there, like really great players. So I'm looking forward to seeing their plays. And, you know, and we haven't seen ours yet, you know, the film of it, because they filmed it. We haven't looked at it yet either. So I'm looking forward to seeing it, too. So that's the good news there. So we have a lot of listeners tonight on this snowy night. And I had to rush out there because someone came for reading. And I was out there shoveling like a lunatic fast. People say take it slow so you don't have a heart attack. I go, no, that's not happening. You know, like.
I think that TJ needs to get you a snowblower.
Well, TJ did some too. Yeah, TJ did it too. But I really don't mind shoveling because I like to get like the arm muscles going. I really don't mind shoveling. I'm one of those people that doesn't mind it. I don't know. I like it. My brother who's in Hawaii, I haven't seen him in like 45 years since he went to Hawaii and never came back. But every time he texts me, oh, you got snow. Oh, I hated when we had to shovel. And I'm like, really? I always like shoveling. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm more concerned I'll lose a finger with a snowblower, so I'd rather just shovel, okay? You know, I'm like,
well, you're not going to lose a finger if you keep your hands out of the snowblower. Just push the damn thing.
I don't know. Somehow it would be some freak thing I do, you know? So I trust the shovel more. You know, so now we have some listeners that have been, you know, they've been here for a while. So let's see.
Yes.
We haven't screened the first one. No,
email you first, Cindy?
I'm trying to think. Did anyone email me? I don't remember, actually. So,
okay.
You know, and sometimes people email me a week in advance, and I usually mark it down. I don't see anything marked down, so I'm assuming nobody
all
did.
All right, so then we're going to have to do this just according to time. Who's been waiting the longest?
Right, and God forbid, because sometimes people email me a week in advance, and I usually mark it down, but if I look at it in the morning when I first get up, and people don't realize that I work till after midnight most nights because I have California clients, so I don't get up till 10 o'clock. So even though I'm answering at 10 o'clock, you might not be aware that I've just gotten up. So some of those things, I should not really answer emails the second I get up because that's how I forget things because, you know, I'm not really awake at that moment in time.
Oh, I don't blame you.
If I've ever forgotten, it's not been on purpose. It's that I wasn't awake yet when I read the email. So let's do the 347-0057 and see what they might have to say.
All righty then. Hello, 0057. You are on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And who is this?
This is Nikki.
Hi, Nikki. So you're calling from New York, and what's on your mind?
I wasn't even anticipating being able to get through, so I'm like a little thrown off right now.
Okay, well, Nikki, you were meant to get through tonight then.
Yeah. So I've kind of been going through a rough patch, and I guess I'm just kind of hoping to get some insight maybe or like, I don't know, encouragement or I don't even know.
And Nikki, rough patch how? Rough patch love-wise, work-wise, family-wise, corona-wise?
Love, family, corona, like just a little bit of everything. But it all started a few months back. You know, I went through a breakup and I'm just having a lot of family issues as well. And so it's a lot all at once for me to be dealing with, you know, and there's a lot of healing that needs to take place. I just don't know if I'm making the right choices or doing the right thing, I guess.
Okay. And, you know, it's funny because when I asked you if it was family, it was related, because I saw all of it in the first round of cards. I go, she's got a lot on her plate. Okay. And
yeah.
We've discussed on the show before that 2020 was supposed to be a year of clear vision, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that clear vision was to make people see that not everybody's good, not everybody's fixable in this lifetime. And, you know, I think you're surrounded by some people that maybe when the blinders have come off, you might be surprised by some of their behaviors. You might be having a little trouble dealing with some of that. And, you know, as far as family members, I would advise you to just start doing some righteous anger, which is just dealing with facts. I love you, but when you do an ABCD, it's making me crazy. A little facts going on there. You know, with as far as the breakup goes, he's still kind of showing up here. Does he text you or kind of contact you still?
No, I haven't heard from him in months.
Okay, and he's showing up here, which means if he does think about you, you know, don't think he's walked away without having any of the angst that you're feeling, because he does too. But he's getting a lot of guidance that unless he could step up to the plate and be the man you need, please don't come around. Okay, so, you know, mourning for the ending of this relationship is what you're doing right now, and it's difficult. And as far as your family members go, it looks like there's one person more than the other ones that's a problem. And, you know, how are you dealing with that person at this current time?
I haven't really spoken to them, so.
Okay, it's okay. Sometimes, this is a year of enough is enough. okay? For a good person like you not to speak to a family member, they've had to push you too far. And that person has traits, and, you know, you've been surrounded by unfixable people this year, people that manipulate, that are judgmental, not accountable. And it's painful for older souls to kind of cut out family members. And, you know, are you hoping this person will start to talk to you? Because I don't see that person changing. So you would have to change the way you respond to them if they do begin to come back into your life.
And that's exactly what I'm kind of, like, figuring out and trying to deal with as best as I can. It's just very difficult because I love my family and I want to have a good relationship with my parents, my siblings, but, you know, in this breath, I just feel like you said, this year is like the year of enough is enough. And that's exactly how I feel. Enough is enough already. Like, I'm always the one that's reaching out to everyone else. I'm always the one that's checking on everyone else. And it's never being reciprocated. And I don't do it because I expect it, but it would be nice to feel like I'm seen, to feel like I'm heard, to feel like I'm thought of.
And that's very important because good to a fault, people are the givers. They're always giving. And unfortunately, we're surrounded by takers. And, you know, there's a point where you just don't want to be the giver all the time. And you went through a breakup, and of a soulmate. There was a very strong connection there. And it's a devastation, the loss of a soulmate, okay? It's like a death. And where are people for you? Like, and older souls don't really ask for help a lot, okay?
Right.
They don't. And it's not their nature. But you would hope that someone would say, how are you today? How are you feeling?
Yep.
How are you getting through today? Like, you know, it doesn't take a lot. I don't care how busy people are. We're all busy. You know, when I know someone's going through something, one of my clients, and I swear I don't have a minute some days to myself. I really don't. I'm so busy that I'll think, oh, my God, I just want to make sure I shoot a text to let them know I'm thinking of them. Are they okay? I mean, what did it take me, 20 seconds?
Right.
Okay? And then they text me back and let me know how they are. And it makes them feel better and I feel better. Like, these are, in this day and age of texting, it's sometimes just a minute of your time. You know, it's not a million hours. But, you know, you tend to, in your relationships, be a magnet for unfixable people and takers. And are you writing down what your ideal soulmate would be like? And I hope you put down a giving person, someone who gives, a good person, a kind person. And, you know, it's hard because your family members, they kind of know not what they do. Everyone thinks old souls are so strong that they don't really ever need help. I think that's part of it. They just really don't think. Because we don't ask for help, and maybe they think we're okay. The most brilliant thing ever said to me was when I was getting my hair washed from, the girl must have been 16 years old, and everybody in the shop, you know, telling me their problems and asking me about this, and can I talk to that dead person, and blah, blah, blah. And the girl washing my hair said, does anyone ever ask you how you are? You know, like, and I said, yeah, sometimes, you know, but sometimes people just don't realize that maybe you need something. And talking to them with righteous anger, this person may be saying, hey, look, I love you, but it seems like, you know, you don't feel like you're there for me. And I would just like to know that you think about me and want to be in my life. I wouldn't contact that person. I would wait till they contact you. But we also have to sometimes understand when we're dealing with narcissists, or I call the unfixable, they're never going to love you the way you need to be loved. They're just not capable of it. And, you know, if you're expecting them to do that, you're going to be disappointed and hurt. And so they're the kind of people we miss when they're not around. But as soon as we're near them, we don't miss them. We know, like, oh, Jesus, you know, we realize what they're up to. But just try to focus this year on yourself. Pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself. You will be granted another soulmate. You do have to mourn for the ending of this. Are you feeling like you're in mourning?
I feel like I have been, but I was, you know, I didn't know if this was really it, or if somewhere down the line there would be some sort of rekind. Like, I don't know.
Because again, that universe is telling him, do not come back to Nikki unless you're ready to talk turkey and be real, okay? So, you know, usually the universe gives 3 to 6 months from when a soulmate relationship ends to see if that person does their inner homework and realizes what they've done wrong. If that doesn't seem the case, if this person's mind is distracting with all the, you know, crazy behaviors that people can do and not really doing the inner homework, you would be brought another soulmate. But the one thing is, are you tired of takers now? Are you tired of people that take?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because that's part of our karmic lesson. In 2020 is supposed to be the year we clearly see who's a taker and who's a giver. And we clearly start saying, enough is enough, what you have been saying. And write down in positive terms what you want in a soulmate. And pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And pray to be a soulmate who can love and commit back. If it's your ex, so be it. If it's someone else, let the universe bring that forward.
Yeah,
you have a good
5-year
period opening up. Yeah. I mean, don't put it as if he's the savior, okay?
No,
you know?
No, I'm not doing that.
No, there's no knight in shining armor that's going to rescue us, okay? Like, we have to rescue ourselves. You do your homework. You're not responsible for the ending of that relationship, his behaviors were, you'd be granted another soulmate. So there's nothing bad in your cards. It's, everything's compounded and made worse by Corona because of the isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're approaching a year now as March is coming around. It's been going on for a year. Okay?
Yep.
It's not 3 months. It's a year. Okay? And thank God we're getting near the warmer weather again so we can maybe open up again. It's been a very hard year on people, but there's nothing bad in your cards. It's all making you stronger. And, you know, as far as your family member goes, you know, you may hear from that person sooner than later, maybe near Easter time or something like that. Try to come up with some boundaries or behaviors that you want and state them calmly. But don't expect miracles from that person and a miraculous change of heart. Some people just don't, they don't see it. And it's hard for you because you realize that sometimes these people don't see what they're doing. They're not aware of it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I'm not expecting miracles. I'm not expecting them to change. They are who they are. They've been this way their whole lives. And, you know, I know I have to change how I react to certain things, but I think what would make me feel a little bit better is them at least kind of taking accountability and genuinely apologizing for their behavior or for the way they treated me or how they made me feel. You know, like, take some sort of responsibility. If they at least are willing to do that, I think that would make me feel a little bit better, but I can't expect that to happen either because I've said things verbatim as to what it is that I need to feel that emotional support, what it is that I want, and I have not seen a change. So it's like,
right.
How
and remember, unfixable are not accountable for their behaviors. They see the world with a self-serving lens. They believe their lies and their bullshit. Okay, they don't see, they don't have the ability to walk through your shoes. Okay, good people can walk through other people's shoes. I've never really been able to win arguments completely because I could always see the other person's point of view as well as my own. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I could see that. I have that double vision. Unfixables have a very, very singular vision, and it's skewed in their favor, okay? And they twist and turn everything. So, again, the best you can hope for, really, is a cordial, sort of polite relationship with this person where you could be in the same room with them and, you know, it's okay and there's not all that hard feelings, but don't think you're going to have an intimate, close relationship.
That, it's my mother that we're talking about, though.
Yeah, I know that. And I know, I didn't know if you wanted to mention it because I got the mother card here. And when I was saying to you, when I said, you know, there's certain people we miss when they're not with us, but when they're around, we know why we don't want them near us. My mom has passed. And whenever I miss her, I hear my spirit guide saying, but if she were to come back on Earth, you would know why you don't miss her when she... around her, okay? It's not easy to not have a close relationship with our own mother, and you're kind of an old soul. To cut her out is probably going to be impossible for you, and I wouldn't even advocate it for you. But see, narcissists are not capable of loving us the way we need to be loved, okay? And it's not you, it's her. And so sometimes if you stop expecting her to love you the way you need to be loved, or to, you know, be there for you. I mean, you'd be surprised how much she does care about you. After my mother died, I was shocked to see how many things about me she had in the file cabinet. Things she never told me. Oh, I saw her when you made National Honor Society, or complimented me, or even acknowledged it, were all tucked away in folders, which meant she knew these things. She must have been proud of them, or she wouldn't have saved them for 40 years or whatever. But some people you're never going to have that relationship with. And unfortunately, when it's your mother, it's very hard. And I can sympathize with you, and I can fully understand the relationship. Okay, and yet, if it's hurting you, then you could be the better person and extend the olive branch and just say, Mom, you know, I needed some time to step away. And I just wish that when I'm going through things, you would ask me how I am. And just maybe state how you feel and leave it at that. Don't expect miracles, but narcissists never admit wrongdoing.
Okay? Yeah.
Not even at the hours of their death. Don't even hold your breath for that, okay? You know, I remember my father at the hours of death, he said he did the best he could. No, he didn't. Okay, but I'll accept that you said that. No, no apologies. Just that he did the best he could, okay? Some people are not capable of that. And, you know, what I could see here is she loves you. You know, you're her daughter. There's a little envy on her part. Sometimes she's jealous and envious of you, which isn't good. But I don't know if you've seen that with her. But it's there. And, you know, sometimes she doesn't mean to disempower you, but she does. And, you know, so I said around Easter, it looks to me like you may have contact with her or see her or talk with her. And I would expect you to say what you've been thinking these few months, but not in an attack way, not in a screaming way or yelling. Just
no,
from
I don't
your
want
heart.
That.
Just
yeah.
From your heart. You know, Mom, I really want to have a better relationship with you. I want us to be close and see what happens. And just don't ever be surprised when they do things. You know, this, they know not what they do. Don't take it personally. When she's, you know, warmer to you, enjoy it, but don't take the coldness or, you know, her judgments personally. And do us a favor and call in again and let us know what happens with your mom. If you just, you know, do you want to talk to her sooner than later? Do you feel like you need to?
Yeah, because this is, like, weighing so heavy on me. It's been...
That's what I'm saying. If it's going to weigh heavy on you, then stop it already, okay? And just call her and say, look, Mom, I'm sorry for whatever you think I did, and this is how I feel. And just speak nicely and see if, you know... Because I could see she misses you, too, okay? You're her daughter. She misses you. You know, did you ever have a close relationship with her? Were you ever close?
Not really, and I felt like we were kind of going in that direction at one point, and then I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it tends to do that. But I would just say, you know, if you're not feeling good about it, then you do what you feel is right in your heart, okay, and see what happens. You know, don't expect a miracle, but, you know, they wake up when the gun's at their head, these people. They can be a little nicer for a while, and then they go back to their stuff. But just if you continually state what you need, and if she says something that hurts you or bothers you, to say it, you know, when you say this, it hurts me, or, you know, just speak from your heart. And, And because that's weighing very heavy on you right now. So I don't want you to feel this way right now. So call me and see what happens when you become the one who learns to talk. And again, you have to not take these people, her personally. I know she's your mom, and it's hard not to. But, you know, I grew up in a family that really never talked to me. Never talked to me. The irony of life is people pay to talk to me. People pay to talk to me all day long.
Right.
I had a family who never talked to me. Don't you think that's kind of ironic?
And I completely understand because I feel like the same way. There's never been communication in my family either, yet I'm the complete opposite of that.
And everybody wants to talk to you. So, you know, it's not you is what I'm telling you. It's not you. Okay? I wish you were my daughter. I'd love you. I'd embrace you. I mean, you're a wonderful young woman. And try to understand some people are just not capable of loving others the way they need to be loved. They're just not, it's not capable. So you have to accept the level of love that they have. And yeah, she loves you. It's just not the way you need to be loved. But that's why you want to, and you need to stop picking narcissistic men, manipulative, judgmental, not accountable, because Freud got something wrong. It isn't our fathers that determine the men we pick. It is our mothers if they're unfixable. You keep gravitating for men that are a lot like your mother. So let's stop with that. You're not going to change your mom. You're not going to fix her. You're going to accept her for who she is, take the good when it comes, ignore the bad, speak up if she's abusive, you know, in a kind and righteous manner. But you need to heal your issues with your mother so that you can get a different kind of person, a different kind of man gravitating to you. So you don't have to heal your mommy issue anymore. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. Believe me. When my mom died when she was 87, I swear I did not know her. I don't know who she was. And she did not know who I was. Sad. It's very sad.
Yeah.
And but did she love me? Obviously. And, you know, maybe it was her failure to know us, but it's not an unusual thing. You might think this is rare, but there's a lot of people that have these family dynamics. It's not just you or me. There's a lot of people.
I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, call in again. We'd really like to hear from you, Nikki. And
thank you so much.
You know, maybe this week, maybe tomorrow, the next day, call your mom and see how it goes, okay? And let us know how it went.
I will. Thank you so much.
Okay. Good luck. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And Nicole, isn't she a sweetheart? I'll adopt her.
She is.
She can be my daughter. I'll have her. Uh-huh. I love her. Now, we have another 347 number. Want to pick up that one? Or did you screen anybody yet?
I already have somebody queued up much further down the line.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that. Okay, yeah.
Screen the next 347 number. We have Kathy calling. And Kathy we took Kathy's call late last week, Cindy. She's gone through, the breakup. She's a friend of mine. And, you told her to call back this week with an update. And so I'm going to put Kathy on. And I'm just going to tell Kathy before I duck into the chat room to queue up the next call. She needs to be completely honest with what she did. So that's all I'm going to do.
Oh, completely honest.
About.
Okay. Now, Nicole's being the bad cop. I'm not. Okay. Remember, she's the bad cop on the show.
Yeah. So here we go out to Kathy. Hey, Kat, you're here.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Kathy. So, okay, what's the update? And I'm glad you called in because I think you needed to call in today. I think we need this update.
I definitely did. I'm feeling a lot better than I did last week. Last week, I just felt like pure, raw emotion. And through the weekend, I continued to feel it as the week went on. I feel like I kind of have a different mindset. But like Nicole said, I had a slip up. I didn't contact him, but I allowed his youngest son to engage with me. And I continued that engagement. And he wanted to watch, like, TV with me, like, on FaceTime and show me his toys. And I think that in retrospect, after I told Nicole and she yelled at me and I beat myself up over it, I think in retrospect, I was just trying to fill my need of wanting to be, you know, that mother figure for him. And after I told Nicole, like, all Monday, I'm like, oh, my God, what did I do? I didn't realize at the time how, you know, me doing that and not even engaging with my ex directly, but I didn't realize at that time that I was letting him off the hook. So,
right. And how old is that child?
He's 7.
Mm-hmm. So, who made the call to
he
you?
He did.
The 7-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, isn't it funny how 7-year-olds can make calls? It's just amazing.
He's on,
right?
I'm his parent on Messenger Kids.
And I'm sure it's hard for him too. And I don't, you know, I know Nicole didn't want you to open that door, and I understand why she wouldn't want you, but it's hard because you love the child too. So
yeah.
I can understand that. And it probably felt more natural for you to communicate
of
to the
course.
Child and not for him to feel like he's done something wrong. You know,
right. He asked me over and over, like, can you come over here and spend time with me? I'm like, I can't today. And, you know, that's when Nicole said, like, you gave him the out right there because he wasn't being honest with his kids about what the situation is.
Right. And he didn't think you would tell them either. So,
no,
you know,
no.
And he was waving at her, Cindy.
He was what?
He was waving in the bathroom.
Kathy sat on the phone with his child for an entire movie, not just a phone conversation, an entire movie they watched on this messenger while the dumb fuck ex is waving at Kathy in the background like nothing.
Yeah, and again, some of this might have to be discussed, you know, like
yeah.
His father has to tell them what the situation is so that the child does not think you're abandoning him.
Right.
And of course, he was using his son, too, to get to you.
Yeah,
okay.
I get that.
As a pawn.
That
and
mm-hmm.
That's not, I will tell you, your motives came from a little more sense of purity. You weren't going to, you know, hold this child accountable for his father's behavior and hurt him, okay?
Yeah.
But the father was using his son, and you know, to connect with you, which is wrong, okay?
Right.
And so that has to be, you know, discussed and talked about. You know, it looks to me like you just have to be a little stronger. Have you told your ex not to have his son contact you or to be clear that his son has to know what the situation is?
Haven't reached out to him at all.
Okay. Because it has to be discussed a little bit. You know, this is very hard because you know, you guys had a strong connection at one point, and the children enjoyed being near you, and now they're devastated, and you're devastated. But, you know, I could see you're feeling calmer and can be a little more objective about the situation. You realize, you know, your ex has traits that may not be fixable.
Yeah. You mentioned that before.
And I mean, that what he did was manipulation, being
mm-hmm.
there with his son there and showing no accountability,
right?
You know, for his own behaviors. And, you know, how long were you with him altogether?
2 years.
Okay. And, you know, 2 years to a child is a long time. Okay. You know, he's only 7. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
you did 5 to 7, you know, to child, you know, and, you know, with you, I see you're going to be granted another soulmate. You'll have another love. Are you ready to move on from this one now?
I don't think I really have a choice. I was very giving to him, very supportive. And if that's not what he wants in his life and he can't appreciate that, I can't stay or sticking around waiting for him.
Right. And you know, but how is that going to affect the relationship with this child? Do you want to have a relationship with the child? Because it's almost impossible to have a relationship with a 7-year-old and not have a relationship with his father still.
I know.
And
I hate his kids more than him.
Of course you do. And he knew that, by the way. By introducing you to them, by having you a part of their world, he knew what he was doing. He was hoping that would make you never want to leave him. You know, like, these are your family.
I didn't ever want to.
No, of course not. But in most instances when I've seen this with my clients and been watching this pattern for like 25 years, they almost can't maintain a relationship with a man who they weren't married to and it isn't their kids. It's when they're young, it's hard. It's almost impossible mm-hmm. to do it because, you know, it's just difficult. You know, I don't know if you were planning on maybe picking up the kids and seeing them sometimes on your own, if he would agree with that or if you want to discuss that with him, but it still gets tricky and hard in many ways. I mean, have you thought about asking him about that?
I don't know that that would be healthy.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it would be because not for you in terms of moving on. And, you know, it's unfortunate because the children don't understand that, you know, and maybe you need to have a talk with, you know, the children saying it's not about you. It's about your dad and I are not together anymore. And unfortunately, that makes it impossible for me to be in your life. It's not my choice, but it's what's best for everyone. Like, let them kind of have the talk about it. I think they're going to need some closure here. Otherwise,
yeah.
They're just going to think, you know, they did something wrong or you just disappeared or you didn't care about them. Like,
I know.
And, you know, I don't want you to feel guilty later on or horrible or, you know, all of that. And, you know, when he gets someone else and when you have someone else, I'm sure his new girlfriend or whatever isn't going to want you coming picking up the kids. You know, I could just see it could get ugly somewhere along the line here. And it's really up to what you feel in your heart that you want to do. It's never easy to, you know, to leave behind those kids that love you and you love them. It's what you think you can handle. And you know, I just think he would eventually, if you weren't coming back to him anyway, he wouldn't let you see the kids. He'll do that anyway.
What is there to come back to?
Right, exactly. So if you're not coming back to him, then he's going to hurt you with the kids. And I don't want you to be the one being hurt because now he's pulled them away from you and tells you don't ever call them, you know. So it's almost better if you have the talk with the children that because of the situation, it's not, you know, you can't really see them anymore and you're sorry. Rather than all of a sudden, you know, when he realizes you're seeing the kids but you're still not with him and then he just pulls them away from you with no explanation to the children.
Right.
That my concern is more the children at this point. Is each day getting a little easier for you?
Yeah. I mean, I still miss him. I still wish that, you know, we were together. But what am I supposed to do?
I know. You know, we don't just stop loving a soulmate, but we fall out of liking them. That's the problem. And once you've fallen out of liking someone, it's really hard to get back. And once you've seen them for who they are, and, you know, he really is a person that is manipulative and, you know, and very, very manipulative, you know, that it's hard to go back once you've seen that manipulation.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing bad in your card. You actually have the World, a 5-year period in which you can get what you want. What you want in the future is a relationship that's solid with a good person, a kind person. You're meant to have children in your life. Do you love children?
Absolutely.
Okay. And unfortunate, this is such, kids, you know, they get their heart broken because you were in their life and not in their life. But not all relationships are meant to last forever. And sometimes we have to learn that in life. And it doesn't mean you didn't love them properly while you were near them. And, you know, all of that. So, you know, Nicole, do you have anything to add to your friend on this? Yeah, she's usually the one that's going to yell. But, you know.
I didn't yell. To date, I have not yelled at Kathy.
Okay, but what's your best advice for her? Because you know her. She's one of your good friends. You know her much better than
yeah.
I do.
You know what it is and when I explain this to Kathy, and you know, Kathy in a lot of ways is very, very naive, you know, and like when, you know, we had a plan on Friday, and I was upset that Kathy did what she did, even though it is for a child, simply because of the fact that that was not the plan,
you know, the plan was that we were going to reach out and say, hey, make sure your kids get this and leave it at that, not give him, you know, access, because now that he knows that she won't pick up for him, but she will pick up for the children, that's going to be his in. That's going to be his perpetual unlocked window. I don't think that he's a bad person. I don't think he's a bad guy. And I think that given the right circumstances, he has the ability to turn around and say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm fucking up a really good thing here, and I need to work on myself, and I need to fix myself so that I don't lose this. I think that he has that in him. He's not a stupid person. He's not an unloving or an uncaring person. He just happens to be being a very, very selfish and narcissistic person right now, who's not thinking about Kathy's feelings or Kathy's children's feelings or his children's feelings. He's thinking only of himself, and he's falling into the abyss of martyrdom right now, you know, because in his head, you know, he's so messed up because of somebody else. And look, now that somebody else cost him a wonderful girl and a wonderful family opportunity, blah, 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 blah. Once again, I lose, you know, and it becomes martyrdom. So I'm just going to reiterate what I told Kathy earlier this week. Is it a possibility that he turn himself around? Yeah, it's a possibility. But you know what? I think that the bottom line is that Kathy needs to put herself into a mindset that that her next big love could be him, but it could be somebody else. She will be gifted somebody else. You know, she did everything right leading up to this point, you know, as far as giving, you know, him time and space and, you know, a little bit of breathing room and a little bit of room to figure things out. So I think that that automatically is going to put her into the arena of being gifted another love. And it's just up to her to say, listen, if my next big love is him again, then so be it. And if my next big love is somebody else, then I'm going to open up my heart and embrace it, you know, because this guy is not worth her shutting down her heart, because she's got a lot of love to give, you know, and she's a very, very good person. And, you know, she wants to love and she wants to be loved, and she's a fantastic mother, and she should be able to express those things with whoever she winds up with, you know, and they should be able to cultivate those things in her as well. And if this guy is not the guy to do it, then so be it. As long as she's not turned off to the fact that there may be an opportunity for her to open her heart to another person, then you know, it's all worth it.
Oh, that's very good advice. And again, Kathy, call in again and let us know how you're doing and how you're handling all this.
Okay.
It's a lot on you, and unfortunately, the world is a complicated place right now, but I think for your own conscience and your own heart, you need to have a heart-to-heart with these kids about the situation.
Yeah,
you know,
he's not going to be the one to have that conversation. She needs to have it, and she needs to hold him accountable, you know, even if that means, listen, you know, Daddy and I are not together anymore, and if you have any questions, you're going to need to ask Daddy about those, because it's not for her to answer. And unfortunately, as much as it hurts, and I know that this hurts, Kat, you know, they're not your children. You know, you wanted to be a good person on Sunday, but you know what? Your motherly instincts took over. You weren't a good person. You were a good mother, and we had this discussion. You know, and unfortunately, this man is telling you he doesn't want you to be mommy to his children. So you're going to have that tough conversation. If he's going to lie to them, you can't lie to them just because he is. You know, call him out on the behavior. Let him own up to it. Let him understand, because he may not even understand that what he's doing now is affecting the relationships with his kids. What he's teaching his kids right now is that if we have a good, healthy love, that love is going to go away. But if we're dysfunctional and abusive and selfish, those relationships stay. Because right now, John is walking away from a functional relationship with you, and that was their only means of seeing a true and real love. And they see that their mother is in a long-term relationship with a degenerate. And guess what? That's the kind of love that lasts in their eyes right now. And he's doing this to his kids. And he needs to be held accountable for that and responsible for that. So if that means that you need to have the hard conversation and then redirect his children back to him, and so be it. You have nothing to lose at this point.
Right, exactly. Well, keep us posted. We're going to try to get one more caller in before the show ends. So thank you for calling in to us. And,
thank you.
You know, and thanks for being such a kind heart. You're so kind. And good
She's
luck
a sweetie.
To you. Okay, so we okay. now have Katie in Georgia. Okay.
Yes,
that was 3-4.
Katie in Georgia.
New York at one point. It's got a New York number.
Yeah, probably, yeah, because it's a 347, then definitely. But, yeah, so we've got Katie out in Georgia right now, and she wasn't really sure what she wanted to ask. You know, at one point I said, do you want to do a general? Then she was kind of for the general, but then not. Then she reverted back to career twice. So I'm going to say, Cindy, let's pull some cards on Katie. Let's see if we get any career messages. But if you see anything on the outskirts of career, feel free to share. So here we go out to Katie in Georgia. Hello, Katie. You're
Hi.
On the air.
Hi, ladies. You summed it up great.
You
like
Katie,
that, right?
so you're a New Yorker, though. Katie, are you a New Yorker?
I never call myself a New Yorker, even though I'm from New York.
Okay.
But
all right.
I have
so
lived here many decades.
Okay, so all right, so you want, but you still have a New York phone number, so you're still a New Yorker.
yeah.
So I'm glad to hear a career question because, well, first of all, it looks like you're gonna have some career choices. You know, some actual good things. Money looks very good. Are you applying for new places, or is there a raise or something here? Because there's a change. There's a big change for you.
Well, I did apply for a position. I thought I was going to get it, but they had a few rounds of interviews. So I went through the first, like I did one interview, then I did an interview with four people, like back to back 45-minute interviews. And I think they were going to do another round, but I had just literally got the message today that they're not going to move forward with me for it. But I just thought I was going to get the position. So I was just, I don't know, I wasn't really even applying for anything else. I just felt like, oh, this is the, you know, the job for me and things like that. But the day before that, I was registered for a test and I must have missed the email and somehow I got dropped from the, so I didn't take the test. But that was for, that's for something else. But I don't know, maybe the news of, I don't know if the news of that just had me out of it or whatever. Like, I don't know what happened or why things happen like this, but that's kind of what's been going on. So, yeah.
Well, actually, it looks to me like you probably wouldn't have loved this job if you got it, okay? So sometimes the gods mm-hmm. save us from things we think we want. You know, it looks sort of like a bait and switch here. Like what they're telling you would have done isn't
uh-huh.
what would be the job, okay? So
okay.
consider it a blessing you didn't get it.
Okay.
But there is another position here, one that you'll like better.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to stay in the same company? Is that what you want to do?
No, I'm not working with them. I'm not working for them. I was interviewing to get a job with them. It wasn't like I was moving up or anything.
Right. And so because it looks to me like that job, just forget about that company right now. It doesn't look great here.
Okay.
You know, it looks to me like the job isn't what they said it was, and that's why you would hate it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they. You were actually too smart because you would have figured out pretty quickly, this is not what I thought I was getting into. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because you weren't qualified or anything like that. It's kind of like the universe just said, we're saving her from taking this job and 6 months or a year from now, wishing she never took it and
okay.
having to be job
okay.
hunting again. So keep putting
yeah.
out your resumes. Do you want to stay in the same type of field that you've been in? Is that what you're trying to do? There's other changes here, too. There's a lot of changes, so it depends what you want.
I don't know. That one was like, I guess, negotiating contracts or something like that, negotiating drafting contracts. I'm open to that, but I can do a variety of things, of, you know, compliance. I could do other legal types of positions. I could do a lot of things.
Right, because it looks, keep putting your resumes out. How many interviews did you have with this company?
Well, I did like a screening, like, because everything is online now. So I did a phone screening, and then last week I did four interviews for 45 minutes. Well, three interviews for 45 minutes each, but one of them had two people in it. So I did, I met with four people for 3-45 minute things. And then
you see that these people expect you to do an awful lot of work, okay? Like,
yeah,
of interviews to ask anybody to do, okay?
Yeah.
It already just shows me, like, do you want to work for a company that wastes other people's time? I mean, I'm sorry, in two interviews you should know, okay, and look at a resume and check on it. Four is like, what are you checking on for four? I mean, 45 minutes, that's a lot of stress to be under. Did you get a vibe about any of these people? Because it looks like they're difficult people to work with.
The first girl was nice. The first one that put me into the one with the other three, and then the first guy was nice. And then there was one with two women. I really wasn't connecting with them. I didn't really vibe with them. And then the third one was with the supervisor. She didn't know how to work a computer, so I didn't get to see her, but she seen me.
Okay, yeah. And, you know, I don't think you wanted to see her, okay? But I think you were saved on that one. But it is really hard because this, you know, all those interviews, that is so hard.
Yeah.
But again,
it was.
You felt
really
disappointed,
was.
But I will tell you, that's just like a sampling of what it would be like to work for them. Like, it would just be walking on eggshells, feeling like you can't, make them happy. This is what I see here is a job that, you know, you'll get fairly quickly too, that you're going to love. So you want to be in a job you're going to stay for a while, don't you? You don't want to be.
Yeah, I want something permanent. I want something I could grow with. You know, I could move up in the company. I could be doing what I'm interested in doing. So that's kind of really, really what I want. It was just so funny. Another job had, like, something came through my email, and I was like, well, I don't even know if I should be applying for other jobs because I was just like, oh, I'm going to get this job. Like,
well, what'd you learn from this? You learned until you get a job, you keep looking, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And you probably would have gotten it if they had only done the two or three interviews. You know, it was the last ones that you weren't connecting with, unfortunately. But, you know, I've seen this with a lot of people. Where, you know, they feel like they went on seven interviews and they didn't get the job. They felt like they were getting it. And so until you get a job, keep looking.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, this thing with seven interviews, five interviews, it's crazy.
Isn't
it?
It really, really is.
Right. It's really, really hard. But I do see you getting something much better in the near future.
Okay.
So, again, sometimes we feel bad when we don't get something, but the universe is often saving us from something. And it looks like a company that is really hard to please these people, and that they really give you so much work, it's not funny. Okay.
Well, you know what they did? The guy did, because I asked the guy who does, he asked Dana Life, and he kind of said it's non-ending work. Like, he
That's
did
what
say
I
that.
Saw here. I saw these people, your day will be never-ending work, underpaid, overworked, and underappreciated. So they kind of just thought that you might be too smart and finally say to them, look, I can't do all this work at some point. And you might put up with it for a while, but there'd be a point where you say, look, this is just too much.
Yeah.
So you were saved by the bell. You were just saved by the bell on this one.
Right. I'll look at it like that. I'll be a different perspective.
The universe just said, honey, we saved you from a torture chamber. You know, and that you might have stuck it out for 2 or 3 years, hating it, calling in every week, I hate my job. Okay.
Right. I definitely want to like what I'm doing, love what I'm doing, love the people I'm working with. And really, I want to grow. I definitely want to grow with the, you know, grow with a place.
Right. So that looks really good. So I would just consider it a blessing and move on. But the one thing you learn from this is, you know, you don't stop looking unless it's a for real job. You know, like you got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. And, well, I'll definitely keep looking.
And again, I've had clients that have had 7 interviews and not got a job. 7 interviews? What, are you kidding me?
Like, right.
That's they ought to pay you. That's already 8 hours work.
Yeah.
You know, like I could never make someone do all those interviews or whatever with for me. You either know it or you don't know it. You look at what's there. But that's just, you know, putting somebody.
Yeah.
Just love your power almost. You know. And it doesn't respect someone else's time. And just because we're doing them on Zoom doesn't mean it's a pain to do Zoom.
Right.
You got to do your light. You got to set up the lights.
Yeah.
It's a pain.
Yeah, you got to look good.
You got to look good. The
it's
light's got to be right. What time of day? It's different than that time. It's a lot of work to set up Zoom, you know. And, like, to make someone do it all those times is ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
So call in and let us know when, you know, if something good happens or doesn't happen. But we're here for you, but I'm not worried about you.
Thank you.
There was a nice job showing up for you.
Okay. I'll keep looking. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And Blog Talk's going to knock us off in a minute, so we want to say good night. Good night,
good
Nicole.
Night.
Thank you for everything. And
of course, Cindy.
And thank all our callers for sharing their story with us. And, man, when I hear those, all those interviews, I go, oh, I'm glad I work for myself.
Yeah.
You know, that's impossible, isn't it, to give that many? Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. No, it's a little excessive. I could see wanting to make sure you got the right person in today's day and age, but that was a little excessive.
but it's like my clients are all telling me about that. I said, I can't believe how many interviews they're getting, you know, and how many things they have to do. You know, and it's not easy to do a Zoom interview. Those are not easy. You know, it's
no,
difficult.
Not at all.
It's very difficult. Well, good night, everybody. We'll all see you next week. Stay well, stay safe, and stay warm. Bye for now.
Bye, Cindy.